You're listening to SBS News.
72 people died on a summer night in June 2017 in West London when the Grenfell Tower caught fire. The first call to the emergency services came shortly before 1 in the morning when one resident, Bahailu Kabedi, was woken by a smoke alarm because of a small electrical fire at the back of his fridge freezer. He called for help, alerted his neighbours and waited for the fire brigade. Grenfell Tower was constructed in such a way that each apartment was compartmented, which meant any fire should not spread. But the tower had been refurbished with a highly flammable outer cladding, and by the time the firefighters had arrived, the exterior of the building was already alight and spreading. The inquiry into the blaze, which has issued its first report into the disaster, was led by Martin Moore-Bick, who was critical of the way the fire brigade handled the disaster, saying that senior staff had not been trained sufficiently.
Those who were liable to be called upon to act as incident commanders were not trained to recognise a fire in the external wall of a high-rise building, nor were they trained in how to respond to it.
Residents in the tower were told to stay put in their apartments, the standard procedure for a fire in a tower block. But that advice did not take into account the rapid spread of flames in the external cladding, which had caught fire within 15 minutes of the initial call to the emergency services. As a result, residents became trapped as the fire blazed out of control and thick, poisonous smoke spread up the single narrow stairwell. Nazanin Aglani, who lost two family members in the fire, says senior fire officers were out of their depth.
No matter however brave the firefighters or some of the firefighters were on the night, there was a serious lack of common sense. They didn't see what was so vivid in front of them, especially at senior levels. And the report, I think what relieves the families is that the report states evacuation should have and could have been made as early as 1:30. For the bereaved families, we think even earlier.
Martin Moore-Bick says the fire brigade's errors on the night and the decision to stick to a plan that did not suit the actual situation cost many lives.
There was no contingency plan for evacuation of the tower, and the LFB failed to revoke the stay-put advice at a time when the stairs remained passable. Had it done so, more lives could have been saved.
Shah Aglani, another relative, says the fire brigade needs to change.
The inquiry has not only found London Fire Brigade response unprofessional, it also found them to be inadequately trained and equipped. Today we are calling for total overhaul of the service, starting with the cultural change needed to make the change. And the London Fire Brigade has to accept criticism and change. They have to be able to make that change in the areas of planning, training and delivery of service.
Survivors and bereaved relatives have called for London Fire Brigade Chief Danny Cotton to resign. The Grenfell United Group says it was heartbreaking to read the report, and some relatives want senior fire brigade staff to be sacked and prosecuted. They say the brigade is in the hands of people that are incapable of their jobs. London Fire Brigade Commissioner Danny Cotton says it would be counterproductive for her to resign.
I understand that people in the Grenfell community are hurting, and I understand they want answers, as do we. We never want any community to be faced with this situation again. That's why it's important for me to carry on as the Commissioner of London Fire Brigade, making changes, introducing new equipment and making sure that we continue to keep the people of London as safe as possible.
Commissioner Cotton says she was deeply sorry that firefighters had not been able to save those who died, but she denied that the inquiry had evidence to support its conclusion about evacuating the tower. She says that lessons have, however, already been learned and acted upon.
No, I think that we've put a lot of steps in place to learn lessons. One of the reasons that I set up an investigation team in the week after Grenfell was so that we could do our own internal investigation to understand what happened and learn lessons along the way. We weren't prepared to wait for, as it is, nearly 2.5 years for the inquiry to make recommendations. We wanted to take the initiative and to learn those lessons ourselves.
The disaster sparked investigations into the cladding used on tower blocks, not just in the UK, but here in Australia as well. Combustible aluminium cladding was blamed for a 2014 fire that gutted an apartment building in the inner Melbourne suburb of Docklands. A month after Grenfell, the Victorian government established a cladding task force to investigate the extent of the use of the material and recommend regulatory changes. The state government has now established a $600 million fund to remove and replace the flammable material from around 500 buildings. Premier Daniel Andrews, speaking in July, said the undertaking is an enormous job, but not acting on it would risk Victorians' lives.
Each building is different. Each remedy, if you like, will be different as well. No building can ever be completely risk-free, but we will get to an acceptable level of risk through the expenditure of that money.
Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg has rejected proposals for national funding of such a scheme, saying it's not a problem for the federal government to solve. Back in the UK, the next phase of the investigation into Grenfell will deal with broader issues, including how an electrical problem in one refrigerator could have created a tragedy that killed so many people and displaced scores of families. Alan Lee, SBS News.